Thank you so much. So we are here live on BBS Radio at 5:55 Pacific Time on this Wednesday, November the 29th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. I'm calling in on the phone line, as this is, as usual, a simulcast of a conference call with this radio show. And tonight's one-hour episode will be, if you have questions, we have answers. And you can submit questions per email to win. And your question might be handled. And I'm looking for the email address to submit questions to, which is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And I want to mention also that tonight, as every night, Wynn will do a whole planet healing call, conference call. You can find information at the website. Assigned to this is www.wholeplanethealing.com. This is a conference call, can only be participated on the phone, and that phone number is 712-770-4340, and the access code is 250-513-pound. And we wait for people to join in here on the BBS station, listening in online, and those calling in on the conference call. I thank you all for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
You talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Dharmananda.
Oh, that's me.
That is you. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Got a birthday coming up Saturday.
Your birthday?
Yeah.
Birthday in advance. All right, more people joining in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Helen in Virginia.
Hello, Helen. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hello, Jeannie?
Yeah.
Hello. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
The next caller, welcome. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right. We hear the dings when people call in on the conference call. We don't hear those that are joining in on BBS radio. If you just joined in. We're still a few minutes away when Wynn comes in, and I do welcome you listening in. If you have questions, we have answers. And you can submit a question at questions@intelligent-infinity.com. I welcome the person that just joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you, hi.
All right. Two more people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hello, Chris. Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Antonio.
Antonio, good evening. Welcome.
Antonio.
Hi, Antonio.
Hello.
And welcome the next person. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings from Sedona.
Hello, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Who else? Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Jane, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And April on Las Vegas.
Hello, April. Welcome.
Hi.
April.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what SAGEF-SOL stands for?
Oh, can you spell that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
SAGEVSAL.
No. No, I don't.
That is just Las Vegas spelled back.
Oh.
All right. Welcome to the person joining in over here. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
All right, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Don.
Thanks.
Hey, Don.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
All right. And the next person, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening to you, Roger. Welcome. All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Susan.
Terry.
Right. Hello, Teddy. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for being here, Terry.
Hey, thank you, too. Okay. Good to hear you.
Right. You sound kind of muffled.
Yeah. I got to get my headset first.
All right.
I couldn't get it. Okay. I'll go to work.
All right, I see Wynn is on his way, floating around. All right, good evening, Wynn, welcome.
Hi, hi.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't know what to do without you.
You don't really have me, but I'm waiting down.
And I welcome all those that are listening in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here, for participating.
Was that Don?
The one that said hi?
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Wynn.
I'm muted.
Second time caller.
We're much better than TV.
That's
right.
I hardly watch TV anymore.
I don't know. There's a Fantasy Island marathon going on now, Lynn.
There's what?
Fantasy Highland Marathon going on TV.
Oh, I am so excited.
What kind of M&Ms does, who's that little guy? I forgot his name now.
Hervé Villager.
Yeah, what's his character's name?
Tattoo.
Tattoo. What kind of M&Ms does Tattoo like? The plane.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Chris, you sound slightly better, okay?
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, you know, people are emailing me and they're worried about you.
Oh, well, that's very nice of them, but I will be okay no matter what. No, even if I'm not okay, I'll be okay. You know? So thanks everybody for your concern. It really means a lot. Thank you.
Terry, are you on the line?
She is with us, yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, you're on the line and you're unmuted.
Can you hear me?
You sound good, Terry.
What?
You sound good.
All right.
You know what? You could be a little better. I would put your mic closer to your mouth.
Okay. Yeah.
Cecil, sea serpent.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Cecil.
Welcome, Cecil.
Hi, thank you.
Antonio.
Hey, right.
Yeah. Antonio, you don't be afraid to ask a question. On a Wednesday. You know how to ask a question?
Not yet. This is my second time calling.
You send an email with your question to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Wayne, it probably wouldn't hurt to send out an email with the address on again. Been a while.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I sent an email out to the general group inviting them to Whole Planet Healing. Okay? And so be good tonight. Okay? And if somebody new is on the line, and they don't want to identify themselves, well, leave them alone and don't make fun of them, okay? Because Antonio was an exception. I don't know why, but he was the only new person on the line, so I could talk to him. He was so ready for a shift. But you never know if that's going
to... You told me about that somebody had cancer.
Yeah. I don't remember.
It was something where they filtered out something bad and...
Oh, they filtered out lupus in their blood.
Yes.
You know, a very interesting observation. Maybe I'll say this. I'll start the recording.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is November 29th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everyone, everywhere. And I was going to make an observation, and I thought I'd put it on the recording. you know, it comes up, why does Terry have cancer? Which I shouldn't say she has cancer, because she is, like, getting better every day. And she doesn't like me to say that, because it locks it in when she's right about that. But why would she get cancer if we're talking to the Elohim, and the Elohim fixed my sister, at least to her lupus, and why wouldn't they fix Terry? And, you know, why don't they fix everyone that says, fix me? I wish they would, because, but there's a way that it works. And even Kimberly has a hard time healing herself. And she does these miracles with other people. And let me just see, before I tell you the reason for that, in fact, I might even ask that as a question tonight, but...
all callers are unmuted.
Anybody know why that's true?
Why that's true?
Well, lessons the learning.
Yeah. Yeah, why when we're communicating with the Elohim, and they have demonstrated these amazing abilities at various times, why is it a person who is a channel for them even sometimes can go into a health issue, and why don't they fix them?
It requires a triangle effect, according to Kimberly's teaching.
You interfere with their karma.
Maybe she had, you know, something she chose to experience or to have that experience, you know, before she came in, or go through it and be healed, and or something.
I think Hayes got the closest to it.
You cannot be the giver and the receiver at the same time.
It's like, why did Carla need two people around her? Okay.
Well, when you're ingesting Roundup all the time, that doesn't help in the physical body.
When you're what?
I'm ingesting Roundup.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Braden. All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, the landscaper came, and like, I just assumed they knew what they were doing, and they were putting Roundup all along every time they came over.
Roundup is a toxic carcinogen.
Yeah.
A lot of people are exposed to it. It's
weed killer.
Lymphoma.
Weed killer. Okay.
It's a weed killer.
They spray all the crops with it. Is it also from Monsanto?
Yeah.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
You know, Hive talked about the triangulation of energy. And let me explain what that means, at least how I see what that means. It's that it can be hard, not impossible. Some people do it, but to bring in healing energy for yourself, it's kind of like, if you notice on our call, and we have gotten really used to it, you know, and I know you guys are used to it, or you wouldn't be coming all the time. There's an energy on the call that we create together that allows easy access for the Elohim to come in. And when you're by yourself, the signal of the Elohim is usually
more distant. Okay? Even that's true for me, and it's true for Terry. But when Terry starts wanting to work with somebody, like pray for somebody, they start coming in because the energy cross-links. You know, I say that when we're on the call, that we, the group energy on the call makes it easy to tap in to the higher sources. And when you're by yourself, it's more of a challenge, okay? It's like if you're meditating, it's easier to meditate with someone else, okay? If you're having sex, you usually have a better sexual experience with someone else because it's not just their body, it's the energy of the exchange. So I think that, I mean, we could say it was Roundup, but even with Terry, even with my sister, after she got out of the nursing home, she still was not well. She still had a lot of things wrong with her. And I asked them, what would it take to fix the rest of her? And they said, when she was in the nursing home, and we did the cheer-up committee, there was a huge upliftment of her energy. And when she went back home, her energy started to contract again. And she was thinking that she was useless and in the way. I mean, subconsciously, those were normal patterns for her. And they said they couldn't work with her while she was feeling that. And at that point, I didn't know what to do to shift it. And she did live another 10 years. But nonetheless, she didn't live in exalted health. So it's the cross-linking of energies that creates a matrix to bring in the higher sources that can then move through the matrix of the cross-linking to make something happen. And even Terry and I mean, I have brought energy in with Terry. I've been with her, and I can feel the energy go back and forth between us, which I know is healing. And she was also working on some ancient patterns in herself, I believe, which she has gone a long way to clear in terms of getting above this issue. Would you say that's true, Terry?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing, you know, the stuff that I have cleared. And it's been really kind of hard. But if you, like, there are certain things that, quote, create an ideal situation for the body. And if you don't give them those things, then, you know, the Elohim could heal you, but then you're going to get it right again. Because the same things are taking place to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's why when you pray for someone and you've learned how to pray, which is to actually not just sit there, and say, God, help this person, although you can say that. But part of it has to do with moving your energy into the space of the person and then bringing in the higher sources. And if it, you know, with someone you know and really care for, it's easy to do that. Can be easy to do that. Although sometimes when you know somebody, you have a habitual energetic connection with them that is 3D. And it can be hard to project your energy. But when they get really sick, the care you extend causes your intention to increase, which gives you the ability to project energy. And if you've made a connection with the Elohim as well, then the Elohim can ride on the energy you project and help with the healing. That makes sense to you, Terry? Hello, Terry?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A lot of times they bring in grace and they clear pockets and they work with a person. And I remember, a lot of times when they put somebody on the healing list and then Elohim goes and looks at them, that's like, oh man, this guy's almost dead. Sometimes it goes one way and sometimes it goes another way, and it turns around and they come out of it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's learning how to work with these energies and learning that, I mean, the Elohim say this, and people sometimes just think that they're God and just wave your magic wand. But they're a aspect of God, a very high aspect of God, maybe the highest aspect. You're an aspect of God. The whole universe is an aspect of God. That's why they call God all that is, okay? And
they have to take into account free will. So
yeah.
If the person is sitting there saying, I'm out of here,
yeah.
They can't go against that.
Well, they have to take into account free will, and they have to take into account, is there a receptive energy path to that person? And that is what someone who cares about another person can help create, a receptive energy path. And, you know, on these calls, we do that automatically. We create a receptive energy path so they can just come right into the space of the call and access that receptive energy path and work with us. But you have to ask, you have to have, and I'll ask a question on it. You have to have a receptive energy path, and the person has to, well, at least on a high self level, they have to want to participate, okay? I mean, sometimes you can do it, and on a conscious level, you can't sit there and tell somebody, okay, we're going to bring the Elohim in, right? But on some level, even if it's not conscious, the person has to be receptive. At least,
right.
That's how it looks to me. I'll ask a question on it tonight and see what they say. Let's get started on our questions. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth. Through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources who are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protective space where only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. And if some of you are looking to connect with us, we are not ourselves coming through the telephone line or not coming through the computer. It is the voice that is coming through. We are coming directly to you. And it isn't through Terry that you can connect with us. It is through our energy that is direct and connected and available to you directly. We are multidimensional and we can connect with many people at the same time. Things work a little differently in our multidimensional universe where we are coming in to be with you, our multi-hologramic vision. We are delighted to be with you and ask if you have questions, if we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, and disregard it. Even if somebody else asks the question that you had, the answer may be different for different people. So if it doesn't resonate with you, disregard it as not applicable at that time.
Thank you. I'm sure you listened to our preamble conversation, and did we pretty much explain it? Is that accurate? In other words, it would be, even though Terry is a channel or Kimberly is a channel, it's harder to access you, even when you can do it for other people.
Could you just give some enlightenment on that idea?
Could you explain that a little further? That if Jerry's the channel, it's harder to access?
Well, in other words, just because somebody is a channel, and is channeling the Elohim, and they need a healing, it's not like you can immediately go in and heal them because there's a channel. It seems like there's other criteria that are required. And just like we were trying to look at and explore what the criteria is for your energy to come in and work with someone.
The person has to be open to having the energy come in. The person has to be open to change. The person has to have a certain amount of love for themselves and for others. They have to be able to refocus. If someone is paralyzed with fear and has all their attention on a certain aspect, a certain focus, then we can only place love around them at a distance, and maybe it will take root at some time. But we have to honor where the person is at and their belief systems and how they are connecting with the world and the larger world and the larger dimensions. We have to honor that. It is part of their path. We cannot intervene into their own path.
Thank you. Okay, let's go through some of our questions tonight. Let's see here. Mark Esquera on Long Island, New York. In 2011, I had an awakening in which I discovered the Ra law of one material. I was so enthralled that I read all of Ra and Quo transcripts over a few months. Soon after, I discovered David Wilcock and subsequently Winfrey. I also discovered material related to the Council of Nine that is mentioned in the Ra channeling. Through my own research, I have found that all of these people and things seem to be related. Recently, the thought has occurred to me of the possibility of sharing my research with the world in a manner in which both David Wilcock and Wynn do, such as creating a website or writing books. For myself, it seems difficult to discuss my findings with other people around me for various reasons. I feel that I have so much information in my head, and I really do want to share it with other people. So I was thinking of possibly sharing my research with the world, and if anyone were seeking on their own, they could find it. You know, I'll tell you, Mark, everyone that discovers this stuff has that challenge of how to share it with people. Because when you start talking about it, it's so far over the deep end that people kind of go unconscious. And many people are in a reality system that this material would shake up their reality system in a way that would make them uncomfortable. So what I've learned
is the key element is to figure out how to get people to reach and reach back. And also, for me, to be personally accessible and vulnerable in a way that I did not think I was capable of being. And I learned that if I didn't do that, nobody would get it. In other words, to be friendly, to be transparent, and I bend over backwards not to draw people's conclusions for them, to express things in such a way that, especially with new people, I will say the voice that identified itself as the Elohim. And this is what they said. And not to say this is the truth, okay? And then people have the room to gravitate towards it and be curious and discover it for themselves rather than me telling them, here is the truth and you should discover this. I mean, then once people, we got engaged, I can talk more about things and deeper and people go with me. But his question is, do I have a responsibility to share my research with the world, or would that be an entirely free will choice? Thank you.
Thank you. This would be an entirely free will choice. You are service to others in general, so that you do look at how the things that you have learned would help other people if you would put it down, put your thoughts as they occur to you down on paper or down on a computer screen, then it will not only help to set your ideas out, to clarify them in your own mind, but it will provide a body of knowledge of that you can make available in book form. And then the people around you may not be the ones that are interested or that would pursue this, but they're in the larger body of people. There are a great number of people that are interested in the Law of One materials. And if you set it down in writing, then it will create an opportunity for you to clarify the thought within your own self and to learn how to present it so that others can comprehend it, to isolate it down so that you are accurately putting it into words, the more accurately you put it into words what your thoughts and concepts are, the more readable it will become and the clearer within your own mind, and then help you when you are speaking with someone to put it forth in a clear manner. We do see that you have done a lot of research, as you say, and that you have a great number of insights that a group of people would be happy to hear and would help you to share your insights. We see this as a ongoing possibility project and would be very beneficial to a number of people.
Thank you. And let me just say, when you start doing this, if you start doing it, it's your job to learn how to bridge it so you can make an initial introduction that makes people curious. And that's the hardest part. The hardest part is finding the simplest way to make somebody curious. Like I remember somebody, maybe our sources said this, they said, just go into work and put the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce on your desk and wait till somebody asks, you know? It's just like, it's if you don't make somebody curious, it always sounds like you're being evangelical about some new something, and you can get very discouraged because people won't respond to that. So in any case, next question from Rich Buckley. What frequency of energy is causing the Earth's Schumann resonance to increase? Is it an energy we can measure with our current mainstream technologies? From where exactly does this energy originate? And is it cyclical in nature, arising from the central core of our galaxy? Now, Rich, you know, I would, instead of asking what frequency of energy, I would start off asking, why is the Earth's Schumann resonance increasing? And then, from their answer, go into some of the other questions here. Okay, so you don't mind.
Say that first. His question is, what
is causing the Earth's Schumann resonance to increase? In other words, there's a resonant frequency that has to do with the Earth, which on some level people can measure it, and apparently it's increasing, okay?
So the question is, what is causing this to increase?
Well, the question is, what frequency of energy is causing it to increase? And I thought I would rather ask a more simpler question. What's causing it to increase? Does Terry know what the Schumann energy frequency is, or should I read a definition of that?
Perhaps it would be good to read a definition.
Okay, let's see here. Just a moment.
While you were looking it up, we wish to say a few words in answer to his question. The energy is increasing not because of a particular frequency, but because the way that the solar system is traveling through the galaxy at this time is encountering other frequencies that are higher than the former human frequency. The encountering of the greater frequencies is not one steady frequency. It is itself shifting. There are energies thus that are brought to bear upon the core of the Earth, upon the ionosphere, that are causing the energy, the vibrational energy to increase as the Earth is at a direct effect of it, but it is increasing as the Earth itself and as the solar system, the whole solar system, is moving through a higher energy area within the solar system. Thus, you have the other planets have warming, have light beginning to show, have beginnings of atmosphere taking place. It is affecting not only Earth and its frequency, but the whole frequency of the solar system. And it is not just one frequency that is steady. It is an increasing frequency that the Earth and this whole solar system is encountering.
Mm-hmm. Here, I have the definition here. The ancient Indian rishis called 7.83 hertz. That's a very low frequency. The frequency of Ohm, it also happens to be Mother Earth's natural heartbeat rhythm, known as the Schumann resonance. According to Wikipedia, Schumann resonances are global electromagnetic resonances excited by lightning discharges in the cavity formed by the Earth's surface and the ionosphere. For many years, this frequency has hovered at a steady 7.83 with only slight variations. In June of 2014, this apparently changed. Monitors at the Russian Space Observing System showed a sudden spike in activities to around 8.5 hertz. Since then, they have recorded days where the Schumann accelerated as fast as 16.5 hertz.
What was that last?
There were some days where it's been fluctuating and where it was a steady 7.83. There are days when it's been 16.5.
Yes, you see, it is fluctuating depending upon the energy field that the solar system is encountering and moving through. It is directly affected by the field, and that is the reason for the fluctuation. It is not a steady impacting resonance that is unchanging, that it is encountering. As the solar system is moving through a higher field of energy in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Then there was another thing here. Is the Earth's frequency speeding up? since the Schumann frequency is said to be in tune with the human brain's alpha and theta states, this acceleration may be why it often feels like time has sped up and events and changes in our life are happening more rapidly.
Yes.
And,
you have commented upon time speeding up as the frequency rises. It is apparently affected in not only the perception of time speeding up, but time as a whole speeding up. But since everything is relative, it is still the same time.
Mm-hmm. Rich asked the question, is this increased frequency of energy a carrier wave bringing concentrations of evolutionary instructions to our DNA?
It does affect the DNA, and it activates certain areas of the DNA. We are looking at the DNA. The resonance of the DNA strands, there are strands that are not known what they do, and it is resonating with some of those strands and bringing them into activity, which is giving individuals multi-grasp of their world as their perceptions increase.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next question from Dave Ferringer in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And he's interested in knowing, actually, this information is fairly available on the Internet, and sometimes it's more complex because foods from a certain area are more toxic than foods from another area.
Yes.
But he asks, is tuna and salmon getting radiated to an unsafe level?
It depends upon where the tuna have migrated. You're getting some tuna that have come in contact with Fukushima and then have come across the Pacific and are being caught and are radiated. So it is an individual thing with the tuna. The salmon that are from the farther north are less apt to get into contact with that, the wild salmon from Alaska. Some of the salmon, it is an individual thing, whether the salmon was in an area, moving through an area that had been contaminated or had not moved through an area of contamination. It is individual for fish or schools of fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I would guess that fish from the Atlantic has less radiation than fish in the Pacific. you know. But in any case, one more question here. Chris, sorry I didn't get to your question. Ask it next week. If it's urgent, just email it to me again, okay? And our time is out, really. We have about a minute, but let's see if we can answer Don's question. What's the relationship between the higher self of a person on the physical plane and beings on the higher planes, such as the Ra or Elohim groups?
You repeat that?
What's the relationship between the higher self of a person on the physical plane and beings on the higher planes?
If you have a person that has been a part of the Ra group that moves into a physical body, they may take the position of being the higher self. And in that case, they have had experiences within the Ra group and within the physical. If a person is in the physical and they are looking to the Ra group for wisdom, the higher self being a part of the person's matrix, then can connect with the Ra group or can connect with the Elohim group and get wisdom imparted through their connection.
Okay.
We are not completely sure of the meaning of your question.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll ask another one next week, or I will. On that note, we got to go. We got to go to Whole Planet Healing. So we'll see you there in a minute. And there might be some new people on the call because I sent out an email today inviting people. So
all callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.